Good morning, everybody. Is everybody bright-eyed this morning?
Sure.
Yeah, really. I think next year we should start this even earlier. So. Anyway, welcome to the 2008 version of the Significant Others Breakfast. The Significant Others stands for the fact that for many blind people, they live in a situation with a significant other. The original intent of this breakfast was to give a chance for the significant others in a blind relationship, usually the sighted person is who we're talking about, to discuss different topics in this relationship involving a blind person. You've heard at this convention many, many things from the perspective of a blind person. Well, this one, we turn it around. This is a great idea. This was started by Mary Monte and Linda Villa, and we decided it was, 4 years ago? This is the fourth one. A great idea. And, of course, I have my significant other over here, Nancy. So, and my name is Bob Gardner. And what we are going to do today, our theme today is mothers. We've had different themes in the past. We've had spouses, obviously. It's the one that first comes to mind. Last year, I believe we had children. We had sighted children who had a blind parent. This year, we are going to have sighted mothers who have blind offspring. And we have three mothers, and we have beautiful symmetry here. We have a mother. The first mother will be Kay Barnum, who has a mature daughter. And then we will have Pat Olson. You are mature, aren't you? Sort of. We didn't talk about your personality. We're talking about yours here. Then we will have Pat Olson. And her son Patrick is blind, and he's in his 20s. And then finally, we will finish with Julietta Meyer. And you saw her daughter, 10-year-old Emma, talk yesterday. So she, Julietta, will have the perspective of the youngest child. So with that, I will call up Kay Barnum, and she will talk for, we're going to have to try and keep it to about 5 or 10 minutes apiece, speakers, because we are scheduled to be out of here at 4:15, and it's now, it's almost 20 till, so we've got about 20... About a good half an hour, probably. There you go. Okay.
Okay. Can you all hear me?
Okay.
Well, the first thing I want to tell you is about the biggest mistake of my life. And this is so that you don't make the same mistake that I did. When we learned that our baby was blind, we were devastated and didn't know where to turn. Fortunately for us, a man from the Lions Club, and you know the Lions Club work with the blind a lot. And anyway, this man came to our house, and he told us about a seminar which was held every summer in Jacksonville, Illinois, for a week. And it was for the mothers of preschool blind children. Well, I attended, and I was delighted to learn all the things we could do to help our child. I was so excited that I rushed home a day early to share all my new information with my husband because we were so anxious to do everything possible. Can you hear me, or am I too loud? Okay. Okay. Our first big decision, excuse my voice too, our first big decision was to raise our daughter at home, because someday she would have to live in a sighted world. At home, we could teach her and give her the love of her parents. Well, that was fine until time to go to school arrived. When we looked into that, we were told by school authorities that tapes were the coming thing for blind students. These were the days of the early 1950s in Quincy, before National Federation of the Blind was in existence. And the only place a child could receive Braille was at a school for the blind. That meant she would have to go to the school for the blind in Jacksonville or to a fine private school called the Perkins Institute for Blind Children in faraway Boston, Massachusetts. And we wanted her at home. She was partially sighted. She ran and played with the neighborhood children and with the children of friends of ours in other neighborhoods. We were fortunate to live in a town of 40,000 people, and our family had lived there for three generations, so we knew lots of people. My parents were friends of my friend's parents, and Kathy was a friend of my friend's children who didn't care if she was blind. They grew up together and are still best of friends. She adjusted well to life and was a happy child. We lived on a quiet street with lots of children. She loved her two-wheel bike with trainer wheels. I can still remember her grandmother and me, you know, running along beside this two-wheel bicycle with Kathy on it. We'd run along until she would catch on to the balance and take off on her own. Well, anyway, we did things like that always. Oh, of course, all mothers do that. But one of our elementary schools in Quincy was starting in the fall with a sight-saving room for four children, one of which was our Kathy. The teacher was loving and kind, but she did not know Braille. There was no law which required schools to teach Braille. Today there is such a law, and you can demand that your school provide Braille. You will have to fight for it, but don't give up, because it's the most important tool you can give your child. This was our big mistake. We didn't see to it that Kathy learned Braille. We thought it was so important that she be raised at home. Kathy says she's not literate because she did not have Braille at an early age. Looking back, perhaps we should have sent her to Jacksonville, say for her first 6 years, and where she would have gotten a good foundation in Braille, and then brought her home for the rest of her schooling. She did go to McMurray College in Jacksonville, where she met her future husband, and today they live in his hometown of Jacksonville, Illinois. At the Colorado Center for the Blind, Kathy worked on learning Braille for her own purposes. Still, it is so much easier to learn as a child, and one is so much more efficient having learned it as a child. So my message to you is, heed my words. Be sure your children learn Braille and master it early. It will open up the job market to them as nothing else can. Also, be sure they learn cane travel at an early age. That is another must. In high school, Kathy was feature editor of the newspaper, the Q Review. I'd been advertising manager before. Okay. And she took French lessons, and she sang in the choir. But schoolwork had to come first. I read to her a lot for subjects like English and history, and her father, who was an architect, took over the math and other related subjects. You know, the hard things. Attitude is a big thing in everyone's life. If you choose to have a good one, your life will be good. It's almost as simple as that. And a bad attitude will produce bad lives. So charge ahead, remembering example is the best teacher, and that people will follow your example. They will treat your child just as you do. So make it good. It is your choice. A couple of other things I should mention. In high school, we always requested certain teachers whom we knew were good teachers. And Kathy said she had some wonderful teachers growing up. Maybe your school would let you do that too. It never hurts to try. We traveled some, and we always took Kathy along. On one occasion, we went to Marshall Fields, which in Chicago, which is probably the most wonderful store of that kind in the whole world. It's a wonderful, it was a wonderful store. And on one occasion, we went to Marshall Field's and we would eat breakfast up on the top floor where they had a number of restaurants. And then we all liked to shop. So we would work our way down through the store, floor by floor, and Frank, my husband, would go first down the escalator. I was second, and Kathy followed me. But she could follow me because I had a red coat, and she would just follow the red. Okay. We always tried to stimulate her. Did that come through too hard? Yeah. Well, we really did a lot. We took her to the theater and we sat close to the front row. She loved it. And finally, she was insisting that we go to the theater all the time. We really succeeded with that stimulation. In fact, that describes how we lived our lives, stimulating Kathy. We taught her to be courageous, not risky, not impetuous. And one more must, and this is a very important one. Teach your children good manners. It will be well worth your time and effort. Technology is racing forward to make the lives of blind children much richer. Stay abreast of these developments, as technology is opening doors none of us thought possible, even 10 years ago. None of this was available when my Kathy was a child. You know, a lot of the things that Mark said yesterday in his speech was that there were so few things that were available to us when Kathy was a child. But anyway, we didn't know that we had to fight to get this and get that and everything. So that's why she grew up without Braille. And the fastest way to receive help today is by contacting the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois. It's an organization of blind people helping blind people with blindness skills. So, good luck, and please ask me any questions. I'm anxious to help. Anybody? No questions?
No. Is there any questions for Jane?
Usually I'd love not having any questions, but on this subject I'd like to have some.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Kay. And we really, you know, you did a really good job. We love Kathy. Our next mom is from our chapter, the Blackhawk chapter, and she's going to talk next. Pat Olson and her son Patrick is here at the convention too, but he's not here this morning.
No, he chose not to come.
Gee, I wonder.
I think he knows it all, but that's okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Life has been very interesting since Patrick lost his vision. I'm always interested in hearing about people's vision loss since everybody has a different story. Patrick was 5 years old when they found a brain tumor. He lost the vision in his left eye and his peripheral vision. And after three surgeries and two radiations, he has 2400 in tunnel vision. I often tell him, we have five children, but if he would have been the first, he might have been an only child. He gets tired of hearing it, but it's true. We live in a small rural area outside the Quad Cities, and so since he had vision, they gave him large print and an itinerant teacher once a week, as you heard yesterday. When he was in junior high and lost a little more vision, I found the Independent Living Center with Mary Hartle Smith, who was a member of the NFB. She got him a long white cane and with sleep shades. The blind taught the blind how to use a cane. It was interesting. Our first experiment was trying out in a small mall that didn't have many people in, but some older lady in a shopping cart managed to run into him. It was the story of his life. It's why I encouraged him to get a cane, because he was always by my side since he didn't have good vision, but little old ladies were always running into him and giving him a dirty look. So we're still working on it today. She also started him in Braille. And I too wish we would have started earlier, but hindsight is so much easier. So he works on it today, especially in the summers, and he's part of the reading group the Black Hawk chapter has started, which is nice. I'm famous for driving him everywhere, and we've met a lot of interesting people and love renewing our friendships, and especially with the NFB, because they are so helpful. He's worked in drug prevention, choir, track, student government, and plays. He was in Fiddler on the Roof, and the crew wasn't very good about keeping the stage clean, so he fell and twisted his ankle before he went on. But they found a pair of wooden crutches, and it wasn't until afterwards that people realized he really did need the crutches. So, but the show had to go on, so he did. When we went to a family reunion after his first surgery, he was very short at that time, up to my knee, but he was a very friendly, outgoing person. And if you had to choose a child to go through this, he was probably the best candidate I had. So he loved talking to people, and he worked this reunion like a politician. He went around to every person, sat on every lap, spoke to them because they were anxious to see how he was getting along. And so at the time, I thought about, you know, he might go into politics someday. And he is interesting in pursuing a career in political science. So we'll see how that goes. We are charter members of the Black Hawk chapter. We were happy to go to the first meeting and meet Alan and Ruth Schaefer. And Lois Montgomery also helped start the chapter. And we've been to most of the last 9 state conventions. We've been privileged to attend 2 of the national conventions, and that was an awesome experience. And we're hoping to go to Detroit next summer. We've toured Blind Incorporated when Bob was there. That was fun. And I was really impressed by the people and the instructors. And he's considering going there this summer, so he kind of wishes he would have found out later so he could have done, or earlier so he could have done the buddy program, but I'm sure he'll get there eventually. Most of his college is done on books on tape now, thank goodness, because when they were doing large print, he needed a suitcase to carry these books around. It was ridiculous. And they're still not always timely in getting to him, so I do read chapters, especially at the beginning of the semesters. It's worrisome to think about kids getting out of the nest and on their own, and even so, with a blind student, but I'm sure we will accomplish it. I think I'll leave you with something Patrick always says. He wouldn't change a thing if he had to go back in time. It's made him the person he is today.
Julietta Meyer, are you available?
Yes, she's
not available. I just wasn't sure where you were.
You know what?
Okay. Anyway, I'd like to introduce Julietta Meyer. I honestly don't know a whole lot about Julietta. I never met her till this convention. But I talked to her yesterday, and of course, I think we all enjoyed listening to Emma read her speech yesterday in contracted Braille, as I understand it, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so here's Julietta.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you. I think I've met most everyone that's here, and I've had a great time this weekend. Thank you for inviting me. I cannot see. Where's Kelly? Dodie. She invited. She's the one who invited me. Thank you. But I'll introduce myself. I'm Julietta Meyer, and I guess I have not been introduced to the NFB at all until this year. We applied for the Junior Science Academy through my daughter's vision teacher. She actually recommended that we apply for it. So I'm so glad that we did. She was accepted, and then I realized that the NFB had my vision. Everyone that, you know, I talked to didn't really understand what I wanted to do with my daughter. So anyway, I have Emma, who's 10. I have Nicoletta, who is 8. And I have a son, Raymond, who is 7. So I have 3 kids, and I'm married to Dr. Raymond Meyer. He's an orthopedic surgeon, and we live in Morris, Illinois. So I got married when I was 27. At 29, we decided to have children, and we had Emma, and we were in Joliet, Illinois. She was born at 6 in the evening, and my husband said, "Honey, her eyes are not normal. I don't want to make you nervous, but they're not normal." And I was still delivering, and I was still not completely delivered. So I said, "Look, don't tell me right now. You need to hold on a minute. Just hold on. You know, let me recover. You know, give me 5 minutes." So after a few minutes, they gave me the baby, and I said, "Oh, she's fine. She just can't open her eyes." You know, a few hours later, his friend came to see us from Loyola. Her name is Jan, and I don't remember her last name. She's an ophthalmologist, and she told us that our daughter was blind. It took me a few hours to adjust, and he was pacing the room. He said, "We're going to fix this. This is something we could fix." You know, he's a surgeon. You can't have an eye replacement. So I wasn't really sure what he was going to fix. I just said, "This is my daughter, and she's going to be fine. We're going to raise a beautiful child, and we were only going to have one child." And that was it. I was focused. Then Nicoletta came around, and she's my little angel sitting next to Emma. She looks just like her dad. And then Mundo came along. So Emma has 2 siblings, and she's very happy, I think, that she has a brother and sister. I think she would have been very bored without them. I don't think I'm that fun. I wouldn't have been a great Barbie doll player. I don't wrestle very well. She loves judo wrestling with her brother. So for me, Dr. Gardner asked me to talk about what it's like to raise a child that is blind. My daughter's 10, and I'm still adjusting, I think. It's so nice to hear other moms talk. I think it's an adjustment that you go through each day, and you say, "Today's going to be, we're going to focus on this thing, and we're going to have good manners today, and we're going to be proper." And she's going to sit up straight and tall. And, you know, I think it's worked so far, focusing on each day. I've been very lucky. When she was born, my sister called Child and Family Services and figured out what we were supposed to do with a blind child. I had no idea. I had never been around blind people. I grew up in the city, and I saw blind people. I thought everybody was independent. I didn't know that there were training things and Braille, and I just thought that you were born blind and you just are independent. Didn't know what it entailed. I just figured, you know, they go to work just like people that see. But I did go to school with a lot of deaf people. I went to Whitney Young High School, and they have a program for deaf children there, gifted deaf children. So I knew that, you know, being different was okay. So I got connected with Child and Family Services. Then we started Easter Seals immediately. She was getting some great therapy. They taught me how to help her, you know, to just listen for sound and my voice and talk to her and read. And I just, I'm really a great singer. They want me to be quiet all the time, but I used to sing to her all the time. And now they don't want me to sing anymore. But I don't know why. They don't like Hannah Montana, I think. But I also took her to the Chicago Lighthouse for the Blind every Wednesday for 3 years. And we live in Morris, Illinois, so that was an hour and a half drive. And of all those 3 years, we only had one strange incident. I got out of the car, left the car running. I don't know how my doors were all locked, and I went over to get the baby out of the car, and the car was locked. The car was running, and so I had to get the security guard from the lighthouse, and we couldn't get my car open because it was such a new car. He couldn't get the car open with the old way that they get the keys out. But who knows, this police officer came, and he had a different way to get the car open. So of all those 3 years, everything was fine, driving to Chicago and back. Nothing. So Emma has done very well. I think it has a lot to do with attitude, how you said. I grew up with a very positive family. My mother raised four girls. My dad passed away when I was six. And she just said, you know, this is life. You have to focus on what you're going to do. Education's very important. No one's going to do it for you. This is what you need to be doing. Your responsibility is to do well in school, do your chores, and I will provide for you. So I think that's how I'm raising my children. I think that I tell them the most important thing is that you do well in school. You know, it's not important that you have beautiful hair and dress pretty. I think it's important to be intelligent and get good grades. When you're a grown-up, no one's going to think back, what were you wearing when you were in second grade, you know, or what did your hair look like? So I always tell that to my girls. My challenges raising a child that is blind have been, I think, for me, a tough educating my family, who was very healthy. I think in my mom's side and my dad's side, there were never any tragedies. Everybody was very healthy. I think the most traumatic thing was that my dad died when I was six. So I think for my family, when my daughter was born, everything was so beautiful and, you know, nobody ever experienced trauma. And so my family, I'm Mexican and Swedish, so my family from Mexico wrote me letters. I think you're very busy with your husband being a doctor. Let me raise your daughter. Send me your daughter, please. And so I was very flattered, but almost insulted, you know, feeling like they maybe didn't think I was capable of doing it. But then when I took Emma to visit them, they realized that she's my child, and they can't take her. You know, they can't take over. It's my daughter, even though they really had good intentions. But I still feel like I'm educating my family. You know, my aunts, my mother. She's very old-fashioned. She thinks that my daughter should go to the school for the blind, and I think keeping her at home is the best thing. I think she's getting the social skills that she needs as a child, and she gets so much love at home. I don't know if I could love her from a distance. You know, I love hugging her and cuddling with her all the time. So my husband, my challenges with him is that he still thinks that we're going to fix something. I think he has accepted that she's very, very smart. And Emma is an excellent Braille reader. She reads every contraction. And I guess one thing is we don't have technology yet. And she's very, at school, she's telling her teacher all the time that this is the time. I want to start technology. So she's a good advocate for herself. So other things that we have challenges with are sports. She is very athletic, and she only has 1 week in the summer to do sports. She goes to the sports camp USAB, I think it is. Is that it? I think. And she loves judo wrestling and goalball. She does play beat baseball with Rick Parrish as her coach. He was here yesterday. So she does participate in that. And she recently started, she wanted to be a Girl Scout. So she has me starting a Girl Scout troop. We just started last week. I have my own troop. And it's actually really nice. The girls are very friendly, and I think it's going to be a fun thing for us to do. We start selling cookies next month. If anybody wants cookies, get ready. Yes. But I think as for, it's been a very great experience to have a child that's blind, believe it or not. I think that she has taught me a lot of things that I didn't know I had in me. And my background is nursing. I'm a nurse. I worked as a nurse at Northwestern for 9 years, and I did home health for 2 years. And all those years, I didn't even think I had more to give, you know. And I think she's just a really good girl. Any questions? For me, it was wasn't a feeling of being guilty, but since her vision loss is genetic and it's a spontaneous mutation, I knew that there was nothing I could have changed from my daily activity that would have been any different. So from after Emma was born, they told me that 99% chance all my children will be blind. I thought, you know, I didn't really feel guilty. It was just one of those things I didn't know what to think. Is this fair or not fair? That's sort of what I was thinking. It's not fair to her, I think, is what I was thinking.
In my case, I didn't even know myself that it was a gene that caused it. I was in my 20s, and then when they began to check it out, they said it comes through your mother. And I had two brothers that they had the same thing, only they didn't become blind until later. It was progressive.
Yes, Kathy.
Make sure that you have some backup help so that Girl Scout troop doesn't dissolve like mine did.
Oh.
My mother was willing to do it.
Yes.
People that helped with the troop.
Wow.
And we kids just were crushed. You know, we hated losing the troop. Wonderful for the year or two we had.
I do have two helpers that are very involved. I'm hoping they'll stick with it. She's mainstreamed, and her vision teacher has focused on Braille from the beginning. And, you know, that's why she never introduced the technology yet. She said, I really want Emma to know every contraction. We can't get behind on this. And, you know, I feel like maybe they should have given her a week or two in the summer of technology, but we're always away. We go on so many vacations that I didn't want to take that vacation time away. So they never really offered it to me, though, in the summer. But I think that during the year, her teacher is so focused on perfecting Emma's Braille skills. And I'm understanding it now that I'm here at the conference, how it has benefited her to not take that extra time to do all that technology. And she's 10. She is starting it this coming semester, so...
I have one question for you.
Yes. You know what? Nellie told me that I was nominated when I left the room. I said, oh, I said another responsibility. Let me see, troop leader. I coach soccer. I am a CCD teacher. I do everything with my kids. I don't work. So I think I can do one more thing for this, yes. I don't know your name.
Winter Park Resort, which is run by the city of Denver, has a blind skier program.
Winter Park?
It is the coolest thing in the world. If you ever, when you take a vacation, okay. They have a whole setup for teaching children to ski. And it is fabulous. So
she's a good skier.
One more thing.
Yes, thank you. We've been skiing to Beaver Creek with Emma, and they didn't have the full setup, which I was disappointed. She just went on the mountain with her orange line skier sign thing, which she did not want to wear. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I think that concludes our breakfast. Another successful significant other's breakfast. Three great, fantastic mothers. Let's one more round for all of these mothers.